If not you, it'll be me. Yes, Judy, saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a treat to know Jesus as Savior and know for sure we're on our way to heaven? Praise the Lord. Amen. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. You just think about that. We could just stop and dwell on that for the next half hour, and what a privilege it is to serve the Lord Jesus and be saved and know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. I wouldn't trade this life for anything. Amen. There's not enough money out there to go ahead and trade this life for. But anyways, anyone else? Anyone else? Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. What do you want? No. Thank you very much. And I know you mean that. Praise the Lord. It was a treat to. I got all kinds of little cards today and Father's Day and different things like that. It's just a treat. Hey, Brother Robles, won't you come read?
Okay, if we please stand as we read the Word of God tonight. It's found in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. That's Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15, and we will read responsively tonight as it is our custom to do. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and in Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh-Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh-Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, yet as I am as strong this day as I was in the day of Moses sent me, and my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced, and so it be the Lord will be with me when I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave him unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before Kirjath Arba, which is Arba, was great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest for more. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today. Lord, we thank you for every father that is here today, for the example that they have given unto us and a godly heritage to follow. Father, I'm so thankful for my Father and my Heavenly Father that you are, Lord. And I pray today that you be with our preacher. Help him, Lord, as he brings the Word of God to us. Lord, we gather together with a purpose and a mindset. And Lord, of a single mind, that we want the Holy Spirit of God to minister to us through this word that is preached to us tonight. So therefore, prepare our hearts, prepare, Lord, ourselves, and prepare our decisions, Lord, that we glorify you in all that's said and done tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. We just love you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. I'm a little warm up here, so this is going to be shed here for now. And all right, I'm going to speak to you tonight. Got a lot we still need to do here, but speak to you tonight on the subject, Caleb the gray-haired conqueror. What a story. What a story. What a story this is. This passage is centered around Caleb, and I love this guy. I love his heart. I love his grit, his desire to get the job done. 85 years old, and he says, I want that mountain. His loyalty, he had a loyalty to the cause. And oh, how we need these kind of people in Christianity today. Loyalty to the cause of Christ. Caleb was part of Israel when they left Egypt. He was there when God divided the Red Sea. He had seen much. He'd seen much of the hand of God upon the children of Israel. He had seen so many miracles. But he'd seen God divide the Red Sea. He had observed Israel as they journey through the wilderness shows us that there's much more to salvation than being set free. God had a land that was flowing with milk and honey prepared for them. And God had something bigger for them than just to go ahead and be saved. There's something bigger for them than to be saved from Egypt. There was a land flowing with milk and honey. And let me just say this, God has something bigger for you. You know, salvation's more than just getting saved. You know, God has a whole bunch of things that he wants us to do. Of course, he apprentices us, as we talked about this morning. He teaches us in his word that there is a job to do. And so many of us go ahead and we forfeit things in our life, or we withdraw from the Canaan land blessing, if you will, the Canaan land victory, simply because we don't have the grip. We are tired of the battles. We don't desire to get the job done. But I thank God for an example of an old man here, a gray-haired conqueror named Caleb, who says, you know, I want that mountain. I want that Canaan land. God promised it to me, and I'm going to go ahead and dead sure. I'm gonna get that mountain. It would, however, be a land of giants. There was going to be some battles, but it's there if he wanted it, and he so desired it. You know, as we know, Israel could have had it 40 years earlier than this. They could have had it, but they got fearful. They heard the bad report. They got scared, so they wandered around 40 more years. But Caleb, one of them spies, he espied the land. He saw that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. He so desired the victorious Christian life. God saves us. He promised us a life of victory and spiritual joy. But rather than to claim the things that are rightfully ours, peace, joy, fellowship, and the glory of God, oftentimes we'll do what the children of Israel did. We'll oftentimes choose spiritual wilderness and be defeated and depressed. I don't know about you. That's not where I want to live. I want to live on top side. I know, yeah, we'll have our low days, but we'll have our up days. But let me tell you something. You're saved tonight. You can always have an up day through Jesus Christ. I, for one, choose not to live in a low on the low side of life. I'm on the winning side. I'm not going to go ahead and wander out in the wilderness tonight when I can enjoy the peace and the love and the joy and fellowship that comes with Almighty God. I, for one, I'm going to trust God when the giants come. I'm going to trust God when the battles come. By the way, they will come, and they have come. And I've seen God work miracle after miracle. Boy, when cancer hit our home, you know, I saw God work a giant in our life, and I thank God for the mighty hand of God. Hey, you know, I chose not to live down there. Oh, for just a little window of time, I did. I had a little pity party, but I thank God he woke me up, and he says, hey, Sean, I'll get you through this. Hey, Weeks family, I'll go ahead and get you through this. Yeah, this may be a big battle, but you just stand back and you see the mighty hand of God. Hey, let me tell you something. You may have the battles. You may have the trials. You may have the struggles, but let me tell you something. God is a mighty God, and he'll see you through it. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but he'll see you through it. You know, you're not going through anything too big tonight that God can't handle. You know, there's not a financial difficulty out there tonight that is not so big that God doesn't know about it and that God can't handle. Do you know that God handles all the money? I mean, I know we think that the economy's all down and everything and the stock market. You know, God's got it all under control, man. You know, he really does. And it'd be good if instead of us sitting back and reading the newspapers, saying, well, stocks dropped and this dropped and we're in a depressive state and so forth. You know what? Hey, you know, God looks at it a whole lot differently. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. But I'm not going to live down when I can live on the winning side. I'm going to trust God when the battles come. I'm going to keep on going. Caleb was the kind of man who was a winner. I want to look this evening at what enabled this 85-year-old man. I'm talking about 85-year-old. And this 85-year-old man to possess that which God had given him. You know, Caleb pictures the kind of Christian who's willing to pay the price. You know, Caleb pictures the kind of Christian that'll fight the battles that need to be fought. Caleb pictures the kind of Christian that'll win the victory that God has for him simply because he had grit. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to let them big old giant grasshoppers defeat me. I'm not going to let the big old giants of the land go ahead and defeat me. I'm going to go ahead and go after that mountain. I'm going to go after victory. And simply because he stuck with it, he got what he so desired. Caleb's going to teach us a few things tonight. Number one, quickly, we've got to see Caleb's commitment. The Bible says in three different verses here, 8, 9, and 14, there's a phrase there we ought to look at. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Hey, listen, another portion of scripture in verse number 9 had that same phrase, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. You also see the same phrase in verse number 14 at the very end, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You know, Caleb was committed. You know, if you're going to go ahead and have the Canaan land victory and the success that God wants you to have, you're going to have to stay committed. You know what? The uncommitted Christian, the uncommitted one that desires victory, they're not the one that's going to get the victory simply because they quit. You know, they're not the ones that's going to get the victory, that's going to have their Canaan land blessing simply because they don't have the grip. They're not willing to wholly follow the Lord. That's a pretty strong statement. That means all of you. That means just not a part of you. That means all of you. You know what? The key to success for Caleb was that he wholly followed the Lord. He was committed. He was not partially committed. He was fully committed. He wasn't in just a little bit. He didn't do it if it felt good. He did it whether he felt like it or not. He didn't do it if it was sunny out. He did it whether it was rainy or whether it was sunny. He did it whether he was hurting. You know, he wholly followed the Lord, not when his flesh thought there was something better. You know why we quit? Because the flesh says, hey, you know what? Why don't you try the world for a little while? Let me tell you something. You ain't going to win the world. You're not going to win going the world's way. You know, the old devil may come down and say, hey, you know, live according to the flesh and live according to the way you want to have it your way kind of Christianity. Hey, you know, that's not the happy lifestyle. Let me tell you something. I've seen and I've counseled enough young people that know right, that have listened to the preaching, that have desired to do right, that have come to an altar and said, hey, I want to serve God. But the old devil kind of whispered in their ear, hey, try it your way just a little bit. Let me tell you something. Tonight, they're not happy. Tonight they said, I wish I had listened to the preacher. I wish I had listened to the Sunday school teacher. I wish I had gone ahead and done right. Hey, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. You got to wholly follow the Lord. You want the Canaan land blessing in your life? You got to wholly follow God. You've got to be committed. He wholly followed the Lord. He didn't follow the flesh because he thought there was something better. No, he wholly followed God. Teenager, children, you want success? Get your eyes off the world, get it on God. God's way is the best way, simply put. But God's way is so much better. You want joy, peace, and victory in your life? You need to wholly follow God. Be committed to God. It means that when the going's tough, you don't bail. You know, boy, I've seen it so much in Christianity. When the going gets tough, you know, the very place that they leave that they can help is the spiritual hospital, is the church. They leave it. Well, you know, I tried it that way, so I'm going to try it my way. When the going gets tough in the Christian life, they leave the very place that can help them, church. They leave the very God that can help them, the God of heaven that gave them breath, that gave them life, that gave them salvation. They leave the very word of God that goes ahead and teaches them and guides them and gives them the strength day by day to go ahead and get through. Hey, listen, you want to have the Canaan land victory, you got to go ahead and have a little toughness. You got to go ahead and when the going gets tough, you just keep on going and you just don't bail out on God. You know, I thank God that he didn't bail out on me. I thank God that when Jesus, I think in the garden, he looked at what he saw. He says, can this cup pass from me? God, come on, is there another way? He says, no, but not my will, but thine. You know, I think maybe he would have liked something a little better, but I thank God that Jesus didn't bail out. I thank God that he saw me. He said, hey, you know what? Hey, God, the Father, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to surrender my life to you, God. My Father, I'm going to surrender my life, and it's not my will, but then I'll go to the cross. I'll take the beating. I'll take the scorn. I'll take the mockery. I'll take the crown of thorns, and I'll die on that cross for the whole world. And I thank God that it didn't get so tough that he bailed out. And if he did, why even be here tonight? If Jesus didn't die on that cross, he could have called 10,000 angels to go ahead and destroy the world and set him free. But he died alone on that cross for you and me. And I thank God that he was committed to the cause. I thank God for that. Boy, God deliver us from fair weather Christianity. The crowd that may come once or twice a year. The crowd that'll go soul winning only when the weather is nice. You know, people die and go to hell when it's 30 below two. They do. You realize every 2 seconds, every 2.5 seconds, something like that, someone dies and slips into an eternity. And do you realize, because I happen to know that we are the minority, the majority of them today are dying and going to hell. You know what? We have a job to do. God's taught us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's not just telling me, the preacher. He's not just telling the workers of the church. He's telling us all to do our part, roll up our sleeves, and realize there's a hell that you'd be going to too had some soul winner not been concerned about your soul and showed you from the precious word of God how to be saved. Hey, you know what? God deliver us from fair weather Christianity. God deliver us from the once or twice a year Christianity of coming to church. I'll go soul winning where the weather's nice. You know, we're more committed to football, baseball, basketball, hockey, Hollywood, friends, cell phones, friends, and more friends and pleasure than we are God. The screens in our life have more attention than God does. I'm talking about the movie screen. I'm talking about the television screen. I'm talking about the cell phone screen. I'm talking about the computer screen. I'm talking about the video game screen. They've got more of you, teenager, of all of us, moms and dads, than God does. Here's a question. Preaching to all of us right now, tonight. Who gets your time first thing in the morning? Who gets your time first thing in the morning? Is it some screen? Or is it God? Hey, listen, tonight, you know what? If we're going to get a job done for God, if we're going to go ahead and have the Canaan land experience, the Canaan land victory, Canaan land picturing the victorious Christian life, and Caleb, who lived all them years, he'd been there from the very start of Egypt all the way on through. He'd seen many, many battles. He'd seen God go ahead and deliver them many, many times. He'd seen so many things. Now he's 85 years old, and he says, I want that mountain. Hey, he was committed to the cause. What we need tonight in Christianity, what we need in Faith Baptist Church is Christians who be committed to a cause. What we need tonight in Faith Baptist Church is we need some children and some teenagers that'll be stirred up and be shaken for a cause, who be committed to a cause, who'll go ahead and stand their ground when the devil goes ahead and blows in your ear. Hey, if it feels good, go ahead and do it. Hey, teenager, you say no. When the drugs go ahead and come at you, you say no. When the premarital sex comes at you, you say no. I'm going to the altar clean and pure. I want to be able to wear a white wedding gown. Which means purity, and I want to be honest with that white wedding gown. Hey, you know what? Hey, listen, teenager, when the devil says go ahead, it feels good, you say no. Be committed to the cause of Christ tonight. Who or what is first in your life? Is it education, the friends, the soap operas, which no Christian should be watching, by the way? Amen. Which no Christian should be watching, by the way. I'm talking about Desperate Housewives, talking about Guiding Light, talking about As the World or the Stomach Churns, talking about General Hospital. I'm talking about The Bold and the Beautiful. I'm talking about 90210. I'm talking about all these other things that promote premarital sex that doesn't promote marriage anymore. Hey, you know, by the way, Hollywood doesn't like marriage. I'm talking about between one man and one woman, which, by the way, it's God's way. God's way. You know, Massachusetts can go ahead and vote on what they want, but you know what? I'm going to keep on preaching one man, one woman for life. You know, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And by the way, God calls it an abomination. God calls homosexuality an abomination. God calls the queer lifestyle an abomination. You say, I don't like that preaching. Hey, it's the word of God today. We got to get back to that. We're losing America fast. And you know what? And you know what? If the world goes to hell, let me tell you something. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back. One of these days, God says, I've had enough. You know what? The world can go ahead and do what they want. But you know what? Hey, listen, tonight, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know what? God's going to say, hey, son, go get your children. And one of these days, we're going to be in glory land in heaven forever. I thank God. I look forward to the day. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Who or what's first in your life? Soap operas? Super Bowl Sunday? You know, it's amazing. There goes the screen again. Well, I can't go to church on Super Bowl. Why? That game that doesn't even mean anything 5 minutes after you watch it is more important than the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. NBA Finals, the World Series. You know, I said this morning, you know what? We are in very competitive sports society. I like sports, but I dead sure I'm not going to, you know, let me just say this. The very day that some sport on television becomes more important than this place right here, you know what? You mark my word, I'll bring that TV over here and I'll have a sledgehammer with it and it'll be gone. You know what? We all ought to do that. We all want to go ahead and skip the house of God. We want to skip the preaching of the Word of God. We want to skip what we know is right, all because of some TV show. Something's out of whack. Something's out of who or what's more important. You know what? What we need tonight, my friend, is commitment. Boy, it's a shame that God is second and things and other people are first. I'm glad that Jesus put me first. I'm glad that he saw me on that cross and he didn't go ahead and come down off it and he did not not go to that cross. You know, Caleb was committed. He was not lazy. He was not sitting. He was not debating. He was not gossiping. He was not disgruntled. Every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber of Caleb belonged to God. He stopped debating whether you'll get on or get off, get in or get out, jump in or jump off. As for me, let me just say this. As for your preacher, guess what I'm going to do? I'm in. I'm in. I'm on. I've jumped in and I ain't getting off tonight. I'm not getting off the King James Bible. I'm not getting off the old song, the gospel. I'm not getting off on trying to reach these young boys and girls for the cause of Christ. I'm not getting off from trying to help your teenagers to go and live a better lifestyle. Hey, listen to me. Your preacher's on tonight. Your preacher's going to stay on tonight on the old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Why? Because it's good enough for me. Hey, listen, we need that kind of commitment tonight. We had the idea the preacher or deacon or Sunday school teacher does not, God does not expect to have all of you, but he expects the preacher to go ahead and do it. He expects the deacon to go ahead and do it. He expects the Sunday school teacher to roll up their sleeves and do all the work. No. You know what? God expects all of us. God expects every single one of us. We think, no, it's not for us. You know, whoever told you that's a liar. Whoever said that you can just sit and not do a thing is a liar. You know, God deserves all of you and your all. Shame on us for holding back. Boy, if you're saved tonight, you know what? You know what? By the way, all of us, we're his anyways. We're his anyways. You know, we know this verse, but I love quoting it. I love using it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Tonight you belong to God. You know, God deserves every single inch of you. God deserves every single fiber of your body. He deserves every single part of you. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I've witnessed it through the years of winning people and talking to people and seeing people grow in the name of the Lord. You know what? Living for God is the best way. You know, I know that. You know the happiest people are, who the happiest people are tonight? They're the ones that sold out for God. They're the ones that says, God, where he leads me, I will follow. They're the ones that decided, hey, God, I'll go ahead and serve you. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go ahead and the Bible says I present my body as a living sacrifice every single day. They die daily, as Paul says. I give you my eyes. I give you my ears, God. I give you my mouth. I give you my tongue. I give you my arms. I give you my feet. I'll give you all, God. I'll give every part of me to you because I want to stay committed to your cause. I don't want to disappoint my mom and daddy. I don't want to disappoint my preacher. And God, I dead sure don't want to disappoint you. So here, God, I lay myself out at the altar, and God, you do what you will. You do what you want with me. Hey, you know what? That's who Caleb was. Caleb was committed to the cause. It wasn't people, other people that was first. It was Jesus Christ. Caleb was committed. He had every single part of his body given to God. You know, you are his. Stop trying to find a way out. Why don't you just decide tonight, jump in and stay in. Just jump in and stay on and stay in. You get committed. Too many Christians have left themselves some sort of escape hatch into the old sinful life. You know, we find that little opening, well, I've done the Christianity thing for a little while. You just keep on going. You know what? You don't want that little opening that the devil has. He may kind of entice it with a whole bunch of other junk and so forth, but you don't want the end result of that. Hey, listen to me. You just stay in. You just hang on. You just need to burn every bridge that leads you back to the old life and set your minds on the task that's ahead of you for the cause of Christ. You know, it's been said of Julius Caesar concerning this particular statement here, burning your bridges and so forth. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive step to ensure the success of his military venture. Ordering his men to halt at the edge of the cliffs of Dover, he commanded them to look down at the water below. To their amazement, they saw every ship in which they had crossed the channel engulfed in flames. Caesar had deliberately cut off any possibility of retreat. Now that his soldiers were unable to return to the continent, there was nothing left for them to do but to advance and to conquer, and that's exactly what they did. You know what? We need to be the same way here. You know, we ought to get in the mindset that, you know what, once we're in this life of the Christian life, once we are in, once we're going to just go ahead and stay in the red one, we ought to just decide to say, once I'm in the Christian life, I'm just going to stay in step with Jesus. I'm going to keep on serving him. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to open up my Bible. I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to go ahead and read the word of God. I'm going to go ahead and stick with doing the will of God. I'm going to keep on going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm going to go out bus calling on Saturday. I'm going to go out soul winning. I'm going to pray for my teenagers. I'm going to pray for my people. I'm going to pray for Roger and Ruth Mitchell. I'm going to pray for Rick and Debbie Franz. I'm going to pray for the Robles. I'm going to pray for the Yesikeviches. I'm going to pray for all the teenagers. I'm going to pray for Brother Ron. I'm going to pray for Miss Judy. I'm going to pray for Brother Joe and Mrs. LaRosa. I'm going to pray for their children. I'm going to go ahead and pray for each and every person in this auditorium. I'm going to keep on serving God. I'm going to be a fine example to these teenagers. I don't want to be a quitter. I'm going to pray for my mama and my daddy. I'm going to pray for the Giffords. I'm going to go ahead and pray for my children. I'm going to pray for my teenagers. Hey, I'm going to keep on going on. Hey, I decided a long time ago I'm not going to go ahead and retreat. I'm going to keep on going. Hey, let me tell you something. You want to live the best life of all? You just keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ. I need a little bit of exercise. Somebody said amen. And if you said that, meet me in my office later. Anyways, there's no time to retreat. There's a world dying, going to hell. You know, we're losing ground tonight. But you know, as long as I'm alive, I want to be able to, as long as the Lord tarries, and as I mentioned a moment ago, if I live to be 90 years old, I hope I can stand behind the same pulpit of wood and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I hope that I'm still preaching the same King James Bible. I hope that I didn't let the devil's devices and the so-called religious crowd get a hold of my ear and say, well, the new age versions and the other versions and the new music, that's the way to go. No. I want to just keep preaching the old King James. I want to keep on preaching the old way, and I want to stay on the old paths because you're worth it. Because he's worth it. But I want to be an example to each and every one of you tonight, you young people. Hey, three little girls were talking about their dads. One said, my father is a doctor, and he practices medicine. Another said, my dad's an attorney, and he practices law. The third said, my father's a Christian, but he doesn't practice anymore. How do you like that tonight? Are you on the verge of that tonight? Get a little discouraged tonight? I don't think I want to do this anymore. I don't think I can handle this anymore. You know, that's a sad statement if that's the case. You know, half-hearted Christians are faint-hearted Christians and never learn how to conquer the giants in their lives. Canaan was theirs. Victory was theirs. But to get it, some giants have to be fought. You want the Canaan land victory in your life, my friend? You know what? Some giants are going to need to be fought. You know, if you're going to go ahead and keep on going for the cause of Christ, you know, some giants are going to come your way. If you're going to go ahead and make it and do some great things for God, you must not be faint-hearted. You must rise up and be strong and fight the giants that come. There's no time to quit. Men, rise up and fight. Ladies, stand behind your man and you fight. Teenagers, you fight and you conquer. Get rid of that rock music in your life that'll destroy you. Get rid of the fleshy lust in your life that'll destroy you. Get rid of the cursing. Get rid of the so-called friends that'll drag you away from the things of God and living right. Get rid of the Hollywood lifestyle and give God all that you got. Half-hearted Christians will not make it and can easily be read because over time, you wonder, where are they? Where are they? You know, I was half-hearted for a time when I was a younger man, especially. When I went to college, I got a little discouraged and I quit. But I thank God I finally came to my senses. I thank God that during them years that I had enough smarts to stay in church and still do right. Even though I was not in the perfect will of God, I was still doing right. I was on a bus route. I was teaching a class in my home church. But, you know, I finally came to my sense and realized what I was missing. And I got on, and I stayed on, and I ain't planning on getting off. You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't use ain't. Well, then don't use it in your vocabulary, but tonight it sounds pretty good. Amen? But the truth of the matter is I ain't getting off. And I'm having the time of my life tonight. I'm having the time of my life. You say, you're having the time of your life even when people criticize? Yeah, I'm having the time of my life. You, even when they backbite? Yeah. Even when you're misunderstood? Yeah, because let me tell you something, it's nothing compared to what Jesus went through. You know, I'm having a time of my life. Even when, I'm having fun tonight. I love being saved. I love knowing for sure that if I was to breathe my last breath, that's why I got exercise tonight, because I know that, you know, my heart's going to fail out, so I had to run around a little bit tonight. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me, I'm having a time of life. I know that if I breathe my last breath, you know, I'm going to be with God forever in glory. You know, if you're going to be committed as Caleb, you got to stick with it. You're going to need to be totally surrendered to Jesus and his cause. Jesus demands total surrender. In his book, One Crowded Hour, Tim Bowden describes an incident in Borneo in 1964. Nepalese fighters known as the Gurkhas were asked if they would be willing to jump from airplanes into combat against the Indonesians. The Gurkhas didn't clearly understand what was involved, but they bravely said that they would do it, asking only that the planes fly slowly over a swampy area and no higher than 100 feet. When they were told that the parachutes would not have time to open at that height, the Gurkhas replied, "Oh, you didn't mention parachutes before." You know, Jesus calls on us to follow him with a similar kind of commitment and courage, willing to risk all for his sake. We're not willing to do that sometimes. When we realize, preacher, you didn't mention that I had to do that. I didn't think I would have to do that. Oh, I got saved and I got to give up that. Hey, you know what? If you're going to have the success that God wants to give you, you're going to have to weed away and give up some things. You're going to have to totally surrender and say, God, here am I. Use me. Send me. Make me and mold me to be what you want me to be. Hey, listen, we need commitment, total surrender. The man who kneels before God can stand before anybody and anything. D.L. Moody was saved at age 19. D.L. Moody heard an evangelist by the name of Henry Varley say, "The world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with a man and for a man wholly committed to him." D.L. Moody said, "By God's grace, I will be that man." You know, he decided he was committed, and because of his commitment, he was uncultured. He was uneducated. He's untrained shoe salesman, an untrained shoe salesman, but God used him to move two continents for Christ. Why? He was committed. He was totally surrendered to the cause of Christ. I read a story of a house church in the former Soviet Union several years ago. They had to meet in secret to avoid reprisals from the communist government. One Sunday, these believers arrived inconspicuously in small groups throughout the day so as not to arouse the suspicion of the KGB informers. By dusk, they were all safely inside, windows closed and doors locked. They began by singing a hymn quietly but with deep emotion. Suddenly, the door was pushed open, and in walked two soldiers with loaded automatic weapons at the ready. One shouted, "All right, everybody, line up against the wall. If you wish to renounce your commitment to Jesus Christ, leave now." Unfortunately, two or three quickly left, then another. After a few more seconds, two more. "This is your last chance. Either turn against your faith in Christ," he ordered, "or stay and suffer the consequences." Another left. Finally, two or more, in embarrassed silence, with their faces covered and their head down, they slipped out into the night. No one else moved. Parents with small children trembling beside them looked down reassuringly. They fully expected to be gunned down or, at best, be imprisoned. After a few moments of complete silence, the other soldier closed the door, looked back at those who stood against the wall, and said, "Keep your hands up at this time in praise to our Lord Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, we too are Christians. We were sent to another house several weeks ago to arrest a group of believers. The other soldier interrupted, but guess what? Instead, we were converted. We have learned by experience, however, that unless people are willing to die for their faith, they cannot fully be trusted. Our commitment to Christ affects all of our relationships. The more we're devoted to Jesus, the more faithful we will be to our church and our family and our friends. How true that is. How true that is. You know, Jesus wants total commitment. Anything less will keep you from a Canaan land victory. Caleb was committed. He was sold out to God. He was in and not out. He was on and not off. He gave every fiber of his being to conquering the giants, and the result was victory. Hey, let me ask, will you commit? Or will you just stay the same, coasting along? Will you just go ahead and I'll just stay the same? I'll just kind of ride right along here. You know what? There's so much more to salvation than that. Why don't you decide tonight, I'm going to get in? You know, maybe you've been in, but you kind of slipped back a little bit. Why don't you tonight decide, hey, you know what? I'm getting back in. I didn't realize what I'm missing. I'm missing soul winning. I'm missing prayer. I'm missing some special time, some sweet time with God. You know what? Today, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get back in, or are you going to stay the same? Who is what more important than Christ? Hey, you know what? We see tonight Caleb's commitment. Then we see his confidence real quick. In verse 14, verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain." Boy, I can hear him say this with confidence. "Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." You know, he says, "Give me this mountain." He had confidence as an 85-year-old. What gave an 85-year-old the idea that he was going to kill a giant? What his faith and confidence came, by the way, from the Word of God. Hey, let's go ahead and read Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy here, Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple verses there. Deuteronomy chapter 1, I'll get there, here we are. Verses number 34 through 36, the Bible says, "And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of the evil generation see that good land, but I swear to, which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon and his children, because he hath holy followed the Lord." Hey, Caleb, do you know why I'm going to give you the promised land? Do you know why I'm going to give you a victory? Because you're committed to me. Because you wholly followed the Lord. Are you willing to go ahead and sell out and say, "Okay, God, here. I want that mountain. I want to be committed. I want the courage. I want the commitment. I want what Caleb has. I want that mountain." And the reason why Caleb got that mountain was because he was confident and he wholly followed God. God gave him the confidence through the Word of God. Caleb had seen the promised land, and for 45 years that vision burned in his heart as he wandered through the wilderness. Can you imagine? He saw it. He espied the land for 45 years. He says, "I want it. I want it. I want it." Let me ask you something, bus captain. Do you want it? Do you want it for them bus kids that you serve? Do you want it? Do you have a vision to reach them bus kids? Do you have a vision to reach that city for God? Hey, teenager, do you have a vision to reach other teenagers? Do you have a vision to go ahead and reach people for Christ? Hey, do you have a vision to go ahead and reach this area for the cause of Christ? Hey, do you desire great things in your class, Sunday school teacher? Do you see them kids as God sees them? Do you have a burning vision? Do you have a burning desire to see them kids go on for God? Or, well, I'm here at 9:45. Open up your Bible, kids. And you just kind of, yes, when you walk into that Sunday school class any morning, do you give them kids your best? Do you go prepared? When was the first time that you prepared for that Sunday school class that God has given you ultimately? First time you opened that Bible, that lesson was at 8:45 Sunday morning. You know, that's not a burning desire. Hey, listen, you know, you ought to be thinking about them kids from the very day they get off that bus Sunday afternoon. You ought to be having that in your mind. Be praying for them kids. Oh God, give me that burning. Give me that desire. I want to see great things for them kids. I want to see great things in my Sunday school class. I want to see some great things in my church. I want to see families come to Christ. Do you have a burning desire? Hey, you know, Caleb, for 45 years, he had a vision burned in his heart. And he wanted that mountain. Others went in, whined, and complained. But Caleb was looking for that mountain where the milk and honey flowed, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. People say it can't be done. You know, people have told me it can't be done. But, you know, by the way, in my strength, it can't be. But I know with God, all things are possible. I know that with God, we can reach this area for the cause of Christ. I know that with God, we can go ahead and win more souls. I know that with God, we can continue to stir the baptismal waters. I know that with God, Faith Baptist Church of Carver, Massachusetts, can do bigger and better and greater things. But we need to be committed to it, and we need to have the confidence of a Caleb. Caleb was able to look beyond the circumstances into God's promises. God promised way back in Egypt, hey, I got a land flowing with milk and honey. But you know what? There's going to be some battles. And all through them years, Caleb was able to look beyond circumstances. And he saw Canaan land. And he says, hey, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. I don't care when the giants come. I'll fight. I'm just going to keep on going for that mountain. And what we need tonight, we need Christians. We need moms and dads. We need teenagers. He said, I want that mountain. And don't let circumstances of life stop you in your tracks and say, I don't want it anymore. You know, I want that mountain. He was able to look beyond the circumstance, see God's promises. And I want to do that. This is exactly what gets me through in difficult times. We've had them. I've had them. But you know what? I got to keep on looking through the circumstances as your pastor. Say, boy, I want something bigger. I want something better. I want God to bless. I want God to bless my family. I want God to bless my church. I want God to bless all of my church family here tonight. God, I want the mountain. I want you to go ahead and bless tonight. And we got to go ahead and look through the tough circumstances. There's been some, but I get up with a vision, irregardless of the circumstances. And I know that through Christ we can make it. We're going to keep on going. I want to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm not going to go ahead and turn back, even when they say it can't be done. I will press on the upward way. New heights I'm praying every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, you plant my feet on higher ground. Are you willing to pray that prayer with me? Are you willing to say, you know what, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stay under the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to stick with the King James Bible. I'm going to stick with teaching my children in the home the Word of God. I'm going to stick with the old time way. I'm going to stick with the old songs of the faith. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and stick with the man of God. I'm going to keep on sticking with God Almighty. And I'm not going to retract. Are you willing to do that tonight? Are you willing to do that tonight? Are you willing to press on? Well, we serve a big God. Doesn't matter what critics say. Well, they'll go ahead and laugh. Faith Baptist Church scored. That's okay. They'll criticize our way. Doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter if one says it can't be done. But I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you can too. Whatever it is tonight, you got to have a vision. I can see Caleb climbing that mountain. 85-year-old Caleb, sword in one hand and duty in the other. He says, I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. The mountain that my God has given me. Oh, I want that mountain, and I want you to have it too. Boy, you know, faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not optimism. Faith is not looking on the bright side. You know what faith is? It's simply acting on what God says. Acting on what God says. God said, Caleb, The land's yours. Go get it. And Caleb, by the way, you and I make a majority. I'll give you all the resources you need to get through every circumstance of life so you can achieve the goal that I have for you. And you know what? God will do that for Caleb. He'll do that for me and you too. He'll do it for me and you too. Hey, I want that mountain. You know, the problem sometimes is we don't want it bad enough. We're tired of the fight. We're tired of the desire. But you know what? The fight and desire is what gets the job done. Peens, you're going to get tired from time to time. People will mock you. It doesn't matter whether they're inside the church or outside the church. But if you take a stand and do right, you know, people laugh. I'm sorry about that, but you know what? God's way is always the best way. Teenager, you keep on living clean. You keep on living pure. You keep on getting advice from your godly, your mom and daddy. You keep on listening to your preacher. You keep on coming to the office door of your preacher and getting advice. You get under the word of God. You get in youth group. You stay faithful and loyal to the cause of Christ. You keep on keeping on for Christ. Let me tell you something. It's a whole better life. You know what, teenagers? You keep on fighting when people laugh. And let me just stop and say this. You know, when people do and they will, because you want to take a stand, because you want to fight for the cause of Christ, you can always know God is always behind you, but your preacher's behind you too. Your godly mom and daddy's behind you too. Your youth leader's behind you too. Your youth workers are behind you too. You just keep on going. Hey, moms and dads, sometimes it's tough, isn't it? Boy, you know, you know, it seems like every single direction, boy, the old devil's just trying to get into the home, isn't he? He just kind of tries to infiltrate his way through Hollywood, through many different things. And let me just say this. You know what? If Hollywood and if that kind of lifestyle is starting to affect your home, you know, there's a simple way to go ahead and fix that. It might be you got to get rid of that thing that's in the middle of your living room. You say, you preaching against TV? No. But if it dominates and it controls you and it starts affecting your children and your home, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it when they start picking up the Homer Simpson attitude? Got quiet on that one. Move right along, I guess. Is it really worth it when they pick up the Hollywood fornication and the adultery and they start putting that in their mind? Is it really, really, really worth it? Hey, moms and dads, listen, you know, if that box that's sitting in the middle of your room is starting to destroy your home, it might be just as well for you to take it out, take a sledgehammer to it too, because it's not worth it. It's not worth destroying your family and your home because of it. You know, you ought to know what your kids are watching. And kids, when your mom and dad goes ahead and they tell you what you can and cannot watch, you know what? You obey them and you do what they tell you. Hey, listen, we serve a big God. You got to have a vision. God wants to give you a land. God wants to give you Canaan land, but you got to go get it. You got to go ahead and you just got to keep on keeping on. You know, the captain of an ocean steamer tells us that on one occasion his ship was engulfed in a dense fog off the coast of Newfoundland. It was Wednesday evening and the captain had been of the bridge for 24 hours when someone tapping him on his shoulder startled him. He turned and saw one of his passengers, George Mueller. "Captain," said Mueller, "I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon." "That's impossible," replied the captain. "I'm helpless," Mueller suggested. "Let's go down to the chart room and pray." The captain said he had a lunatic on board. "Do you know how dense the fog is?" he asked. "No," came the reply from Mueller. "My eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life," Mueller said. Once in the chart room, the captain and Mueller was there. Mueller got down on his knees and prayed, "O Lord, if it is consistent with thy will, please remove this fog in 5 minutes. Thou knowest the engagement thou didst make for me in Quebec for Saturday, and I believe it is thy will." And after Mueller prayed, the captain started to pray. Mueller stopped him and said, "There's no use for you to pray. God had already answered my prayer. The fog is gone." You see, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to get to the Canaan land experience, you know what? You're going to have to be a prayer warrior. You're going to have to go ahead and pray. You're going to have to get on your knees and have the faith of a George Mueller. This is the same George, by the way, this is the same George Mueller who believed God for his provisions. He raised over $4 million for his orphanages and never asked men for a dime. When he had needs, he took them to God, asking in faith, and he received that which he needed. You know, faith is more than you saying what you believe. It's acting on what you believe. Hey, you know what? You're going to get to that Canaan land experience. You've got to have faith. You've got to have a walk with God. You've got to have prayer. And all of these are essential to go ahead and get you through the tough circumstances, the giants of the Christian life. Hey, you know what? Caleb, he was committed. Caleb, he was confident. Caleb had courage. Commitment led to confidence, and confidence led to courage. Caleb was an old man. He did things that I can only hope to do at 85, that I can only hope to do at 39, it sounds like. When you think about it, he was a strong man. He had to scale some obstacles to claim his Canaan. He had to overcome grasshoppers, Numbers 13:33. He had to claim what God had promised to go against the majority. And Jesus was usually alone in everything he did too. You know, listen, you know what? As you go to try to conquer your Canaan, conquer the giants to get to your Canaan, you know what? There's going to be times when you'll have to stand all by yourself. You know, the longer that we live in the society that we live in, I don't know if this is the right term or not, but you know, the brand of Christianity that we live here at Faith Baptist Church is getting least popular. It's getting more and more unpopular. But I happen to know that what we're doing, I know it's right. I believe 100% in what I preach and what this word says and what we pray, the God that we serve. I believe 100% in sowing. I believe that everything that we're doing is right. But you know what? As times wax worse and worse, when the influences, the religious influences out there try to whisper in and say, your way is just too old-fashioned, there may come a time that we may have to stand alone. You know, I think of the churches just in this area back 15 to 20 to even maybe 25 years ago. Man, we had a goodly amount of churches that were standing up preaching the old-time gospel. Now, and believe me, I have tried on the internet. I have tried to look. And all I find is at least just one hand, maybe one hand of good, solid, one or two or three solid churches within a 30-mile radius of here. And years ago, let me tell you something, there was at least a number of two hands, maybe 10. You know what? You know why? You know why we're not the majority? Why? You know why? These great churches went by the wayside. They failed to stand alone. You know what? And through prayer of us, all of us, for your preacher, me for you, you know what? We're going to have to stand alone, but you know what? We're going to have to stick by each other. We're going to have to pray for one another. Because let me tell you something, the influences out there are going to be mighty, mighty. Oh, you know, come on. Hey, try this. So, you know, you go up there and you come to our church, you're going to have a little band up there. You can start boogie oogieing and all that stuff. You don't want to get me dancing. I'll, you know, be a little weird. Amen. I heard that one. But the truth of the matter is, are you afraid to stand alone? When it comes to a point in your life, maybe at work, maybe it's Christian, maybe at public school, maybe at Christian school, maybe everywhere you go, are you willing, when it comes to the point of pressure, are you willing to say, I'm standing my ground? I ain't budging. I'm standing my ground. Jesus, you stood your ground for me. And I ain't gone through near as much as what you've gone through. But for your cause, I'm just going to stand my ground. God, give me courage, give me strength. I don't think what Caleb did was very popular amongst everybody, but you know what? He stood his ground. And he had a faith, and he had a prayer life that gave him the courage he needs to go ahead and overcome the grasshoppers, to overcome the giants. He wanted to claim what God had promised him. But sometimes you got to go against the majority. Oftentimes when you do, when you want to do something big, you're going to have a few canters out there. Ah, it can't be done. You're going to have a few like that. Those who say it can't be done, it's never been like this, done like this before. We can't afford it. Everything's blamed on the economy today, but you know, I serve a big God and everything, as I mentioned earlier, is okay. When critics say it can't be done, realize that you have to sometimes stand alone. And if you're standing on God's word and in the will of God, you're in great company. Caleb, boy, he's a pretty good guy to line up with. Moses, man, how often he got murmured against, and he's a pretty good guy to line up with. Paul, boy, he's a good guy to line up with. Jesus, boy, he's definitely a good guy to line up with. But I'm thinking some of the heroes of the faith that I got to sit under preaching, Brother Hiles and Brother Scoff and others that I got to have influenced me. You know what? They're pretty good guys to line up with. You know what? If I'm in pretty good company. They're standing by themselves. They got to take a stand. They get criticized. They get ridiculed. Paul got ridiculed. He got stoned. People made fun of him. People made fun of Jesus. But we're in good company when we have to stand by ourselves. He had to overcome some giants. We all have giants. You're going to have your sicknesses. You're going to have your financial problems, your job problems, your distress, your discouragement. But the truth is, we can't defeat them all by ourselves, but we can do it through God. We can look at how small these circumstances are. We can look at how small we are compared to those giants. And that, you know what that is? That's the outlook of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says something about that. But or you can go ahead and look at how small those giants are compared to God. That's the uplook of faith. That's faith. Another illustration here. Derek Redmond, you might have remembered this, some of you, 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. He barely into the 400-meter race, he pulled a hamstring and fell to the ground. Everyone thought he was finished, but much to the surprise of the spectators, this courageous athlete slowly stood and began to hobble around the track. However, when with such tenacity, it was apparent that there was simply no way he could finish the race. Just as he was about to fall again, a man came out of the stands, put his arm around the injured runner, and assisted him all the way across the finish line. The stadium roared with approval as Derek Redmond completed the race. The scene was a moving one. It made even more significant by the realization that the one who came alongside Derek was his own father. Together they linked arm in arm, father and son, and crossed the finish line as one. You know, when we're facing the giants of our lives and we've fallen on the racetrack, so to speak, and all of us have been there. Thank God for a faithful Heavenly Father. He reaches down, links you by the arm, and helps you across the finish line. I thank God for that. The courage that you need to have to run this race. And the one who's always there, who will never let you down. Caleb had to overcome gray hairs. He was an old man. This tells me that when God makes a promise, he makes a way for us to fulfill it. You see, back in Deuteronomy, God promised Caleb, because of your commitment to me, I'm giving you the promised land. And at 85 years old, gray-haired conqueror, God fulfilled that promise. True faith looks beyond the present circumstances, sees the almighty provision of God. Caleb had faith, overlooking his age and realizing that with God, all things are possible. You saw his commitment, see his confidence, his courage, then you see his conquest. Simply in verse number 13 and 14, let me just read this real quick, 13 and 14. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto his day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You know, because of his faith, he experienced what God had promised. He gave it to him. He gave it to him. You know why some may not have joy, peace, and victory that God wants you to have? Simply because we've not claimed it. We're not committed to it. We're not committed to that ministry. We're not committed to that that situation. Well, we're just not committed to it. Maybe simply because you said it's too hard. It just can't be done. Or we quit too early. You know, the folks that I find are just about ready to reach victory. They quit just before they turn the corner. Oftentimes, that's how it happens. They quit on God just about the time that they were going to have victory. But Caleb refused to quit until he obtained everything the Lord had for him. I don't know about you, but I've just decided. I have to, on a regular basis, say, okay, God, I just got to keep on keeping on. I refuse to quit. Our battle cry ought to be, no, I can't. Ought not be, I can't. Our battle cry ought to be, we ought to refuse to give up, back up, shut up, or be held up until we have stood up, lined up, read up, prayed up, confessed up, stored up, spoke up, looked up, and filled up on everything that the Lord wants to give his children. That's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. That's the kind of daddy I want to be. That's the kind of preacher I want to be. That's the kind of husband I want to be. That's the kind of son I want to be. Okay, listen, there'll be battles. But do you have what it takes to go ahead and win them? Our church are going to go through trials through the years, and we've seen it, and we're going to see it some more. But as long as we look to God and follow him, you know what? We're going to win. I've said it before, but you know what? Read the book of Revelation. We win. We win. Amen. You a little defeated tonight, Christian? Kind of lost your commitment. Kind of lost your desire. Kind of lost your way. Why don't you tonight say, you know what? I'm going to recommit tonight. I'm going to rededicate my life tonight. Teenager, you getting kind of fun of being made fun of? Being laughed at? Standing and doing right? You want to dress right? You want to listen to the right music and people kind of mocking you and making fun of you? Why don't you tonight say, you know what? I ain't budging to the world. I'm going to go ahead and recommit myself tonight. I'm going to rededicate my life tonight. Maybe you on the borderline of living pure and so forth, and you know you're just about ready to go ahead and fall off. Why don't you tonight say, you know what, I'm going to repress that button. I'm going to rededicate my life. I'm going to live pure, and I'm going to go ahead and come to the marriage altar clean and pure and untouched. Hey, you know what, moms and dads, maybe there's some areas in your life you need to recommit tonight. Maybe you got to repress some buttons tonight. Maybe you're a little bit defeated in the home tonight. Maybe you need to recommitted tonight. Maybe you need to decide that you need to wholly follow the Lord tonight. You know what, maybe you need to decide, Dad, to step up and say, you know what, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to wholly follow the Lord. Dad, maybe you need to step up, mom and dad, and say, you know what? We're going to be in church when it's time to be in church. We're going to go ahead and read our Bible when it's time to read our Bible. We're going to go ahead and pray when it's time to pray. We're going to keep on keeping on when it's time to keep on. We're going to keep on serving. We're going to keep on sowing. We're going to just keep on keeping on. Need some extra confidence tonight? You need to get some courage like a Caleb tonight? Is it sin tonight that's keeping you from ultimate victory? What is it that you're playing with tonight that you think you only know about? That you think that nobody else knows about? You know, you may hide it on everybody else, but God knows all about it. And it might be that very sin that's keeping you from a Canaan land victory. You might think that little sin that you got, oh, it's just a little sin. You know what? You play with it long enough, it comes to a point where it dominates your life. And guess what? It'll come to a point, people scratch your head and say, whatever happened to, you know why? Because one little sin that you thought nobody ever knew about would never affect you. You kept it, you harbored it, but it got bigger to a point where you can't find your Bible. You've lost your way to church. You've lost your family. You've lost all kinds of wonderful things and blessings that God wants to give you because there's some sin in your life that you say, I am going to keep it. You know what God says? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Boy, I love Caleb, his grit. Oh, I love it. Boy, you know, I read that this week. Boy, that just charged me up, man. You know, his grit, his confidence, his courage. I want that mountain. And you know what? I said, God, sitting in my office there. If you ever came when nobody's around and you hear a little jabbering in there, it's not that you have to commit me. I just get talking to myself, okay? It's already been a known fact for years. You can ask my wife, all right? But, you know, I'm back there saying, God, you know, boy, this encourages me. Boy, Caleb, that gray-haired conqueror. You know what? I want to be that kind of man. I want that grit. Boy, I want to see some better and bigger things at Faith. I want to see some better and bigger things in my family. I want to see some bigger and better things in my life. God, I want to recommit my life to you. I want to go ahead and rededicate my life to you. I want you to give me the confidence of a Caleb. I want you to give me the commitment of a Caleb. I want you to give me the courage of a Caleb, because I want the inheritance. I want the Canaan land victory. I want that land flowing with milk and honey. But God, you're going to have to help me get through the circumstances. By the way, he says, I will. I'll give you all the resources that you need to get there. But some have lost our way, haven't we? Some of us, we kind of lost our way. Just kind of, I just don't think I can do it anymore. Yes, you can. With God, all things are possible. As your preacher, I want you to go ahead and attain and reach your goals that God has for you. As you preach your teenagers and children, I want you to attain the goals that God has for you. Families here tonight, I want you to attain the goals that God has for you. And sometimes, maybe tonight, you may feel like I've lost my way. But why don't you tonight go ahead and get that cloudiness out and say, okay, God, I'm going to reset the button. Our Heavenly Father, I sure do love you. Well, I thank you for Caleb. What a guy. What a man. He's a man's man. I thank you, God, for the encouragement that he gave me these last few weeks, these last few months as I was studying about his life. What a man. Holy followed the Lord. He was committed to you. Therefore, you gave him the confidence to go get that mountain. I pray, dear God, whatever needs to be done tonight, that your will would be done. I pray that if teenagers need to make decisions tonight, they'll do it. I pray, God, that families need to make decisions. I pray whatever needs to be done tonight, that your will would be done. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here tonight, say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I won't call you by name, but God spoke to my heart. Maybe you're a teenager, maybe you're a family, maybe you're an adult. I don't know, but God spoke to my heart. Would you please raise your hand? That's me. Would you please pray for me? Anybody else? That's it. God spoke to my heart. I want to be like a Caleb tonight. I'm going to reset some things in my life. I'm going to reset some things in my young life. I'm going to reset some things in my family, whatever it is. That's me. Come on. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. God spoke to me tonight. Boy, you ought to go ahead and do business. The pianist is going to play right now. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him I freely give. Boy, you need to come down and fill the altar tonight. Won't you go ahead and do business tonight? Give it to God. Reset that button as a family. Hey, teenager, come on. Reset that button tonight. Why don't you decide tonight, you know, I've been slipping a little bit. I've been backsliding a little bit, but tonight I'm going to reset it. I'm going to be a Caleb. I'm going to be committed to the cause of Christ. That's it. That's it.
Father, we thank you for your precious name, Lord, for every knee, every tongue one day will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. We thank you for your lordship in our life. We thank you for your lordship in this church. We thank you for this one, Lord, that follow you in obedience baptism. Help them, Lord, to grow. Oh, Father, help them to desire to stay close to you, and help us this week to grow closer to you. Be with our preacher, Lord, as he goes and ministers to his family. Strengthen him, encourage him, and be glorified in all things. So be bring these people safely home, and bring them once again here on Wednesday night. Your name may be glorified. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You all